Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
It's
a
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I've never heard of such
a group. You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted.
Welcome, Mr. Ron Kelly Show. Oh, boy, what a week. What a week. Mr. Ron Kelly Show, everybody. Welcome. And the Ron Kelly Show was heard in limited syndication all across the United States of America and on the web. It's blogtalkradio.com, probably the best way to get it because the stations are so far away from here. But the best way to get the Ron Kelly Show is on blogtalkradio.com/Ron Kelly Show. All right, first and foremost, as I start every show and every day, incidentally, by thanking my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to keep me and you well from the COVID-19 virus as it continues to wreak havoc across the United States of America. What a busy week it's been news-wise. So it was a commemoration of the great Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday this week, but it seems like Dr. King had to take a back seat. Shout out to the people on the Black podcasting group. I got you, boo. I got you. The Black podcasting group where I'm broadcasting my show with them as well. Shout out to Dave Ullman, my buddy from Patterson, who's watching the program. Thank you, Dave. Sharon Allen Chambers, my sister from way, way back. I'm not going to say how long ago. I don't want to date us. Sharon Allen Chambers, my sister. Yes, I will definitely make sure that you get one of these. Yeah, nice, right? This is nice. I think this is pretty nice. I designed this myself, everybody, by the way. But anyway, welcome, everybody, and thank you so much for joining me. Did I thank God? Yeah, first and foremost, let me thank God for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for keeping us well during this coronavirus situation that's wreaking havoc across the United States of America. But you know what? There's some good news because 47 states have lower infection rates and lower hospitalizations. 47 states. Now, it's only been about 17 million people who've been vaccinated of the 30-something million, 40 million. Trump, what a disgrace. I'll get to that. But, 37 million doses that has been distributed, about 17 million doses that has been distributed across the United States of America. And there's just so many problems with the distribution. We got it. No, we don't have it. The websites are overrun. I mean, just problem after problem after problem. And Trump just, you know, I mean, it just did nothing. Wow. I'll get to that. But anyway, yeah, so the great Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday was this week. And so we pay homage to this man, the great Dr. Martin Luther King. In one of his speeches, you know, he said that he didn't know. I think Dr. King knew that he wasn't going to be here. He knew that he was going to, you know, that somebody was going to try to kill him. He knew when he called it because they did, they not only did they try, they did kill him at the Lorraine Motel in Memphis. You know, when you think about this, Dr. King was in Memphis trying to help the garbage workers. You know, back now, today, you know, you can be a garbage man and make very good money, benefits in the whole nine yards. But back in the day, back in the 60s, garbage men always rode on, like black folks rode in the back of the bus and the garbage men rode on the back of the truck. And they got hardly paid anything. So Dr. King was in Memphis trying to help the garbage workers, the black garbage workers who weren't making any money, who were doing most of the work. And, you know, it's just sad that Dr. King was killed trying to help somebody else. But that's what Dr. King was. He was a man amongst men. And, you know, and we don't pay enough homage to this man because his birthday kind of came and went. And some of the stations, they showed pictures of Dr. King, like when they go on a break for commercials, they would show Dr. King. You know, members of Dr. King, they would devote like maybe 30 seconds to speak about this man. But anyway, I want to make sure that I want to break open my show with a tribute, for the lack of a better word, to the great Dr. Martin Luther King, who preached nonviolence. Many other folks, Huey Newton and some of the other people, the Black Panthers and some of the other folks who were ready to take up arms, Dr. King preached nonviolence. So we pay homage to this man, Dr. Martin Luther King, whose birthday was Monday, I believe it was. Yes, Monday. All right, everybody, welcome to the Ron Kelly Show. It's broadcast. Shout out to my people to KCAA Radio in California and the and folks down in Tampa Bay, Florida, WWPR 1490 AM in Tampa Bay, Florida, the number one talk radio station in the Tampa Bay, Bradenton area. So shout out to my people down there who are helping out broadcasting Ron Kelly Show. Okay, so, you know, I did watch as much as I could anyway, the inauguration of Joe Biden, the president of the United States now, and Kamala Harris, who becomes the first black woman and the first woman of color, let me say, because they always want to throw in the South Asian part, which is, you know, because the mother was Indian and the father was black. So Kamala Harris becomes the first woman of color to be elected to national office being the vice president of the United States. And I don't know about you guys, but that young lady who did the poem was spectacular. You know what? And I'm so, you know, so unprepared right now that I don't even, Amanda Gorman was the young lady's name, Amanda Gorman. And that poem was really the highlight of the whole thing for me. When she spoke to National Young Poet Laureate, something like that. And that young lady, she burned it with that poem. Absolutely spectacular. And they did a good job. You know, it was on all day and, you know, they were out in the cold but the young lady, Amanda Gorman was the young lady's name. She did a spectacular job with the she did a spectacular job with that poem. I think that poem for me was the highlight of the whole deal. You know, so shout out to Lamont Cates, who says, why did so many blacks oppose Harris when she ran for president? I'll get to that. But first, I believe we have on the line the noted social justice advocate and the CEO and executive director of NorthStarNews.com, Mr. Walter Fields. Welcome, sir. Welcome to the Ron Kelly Show.
Yes, my name is Matthew E. O'Neill. I am the number one ranked editor for Everpedia.org. Everpedia is an online internet encyclopedia set based out of Santa Monica, California. I'm also the host of the Everpedia Boxing Show. The show was on Spotify. My name is Matthew E. O'Neill. In my amateur boxing career, which was sanctioned by USA Boxing, was covered by the United Kingdom-based company Into Boxing in 2020. I beat Preston Hartsog. Hartsog was 1997 U.S. Armed Forces Super Heavyweight Champion. I also have a Bachelor of Science from Colorado Christian University. I graduated in 2001. The reason for the quick call is I'd like to quickly discuss the Donald Trump situation, the 2020 presidential election. I'd like to voice my opinion that I believe that the Pennsylvania results and the Georgia results were fraudulent. I believe that Donald Trump won Georgia and also won Pennsylvania.
Hold on, sir. Just give me a second here. I thought you were my guest. Mr. Walter Field was supposed to be joining the program. I'm not sure what went on with him. But you're calling in here to say that you believe that the Pennsylvania and Georgia voting results were fraudulent. Is that what you're saying?
The major point that I have is we can go back to the year 2000 where Al Gore thought he beat George Bush. I don't know if you ever remember the hanging Chad controversy in Florida. Do you remember that?
Yeah, but that pales in comparison, sir. But that pales in comparison. Now it was one state, and there were no allegations of fraud. And see, the other thing too is, Al Gore was very, very gracious when the Supreme Court stepped in and said, you know, that's it. Let George W. Bush be the winner. Now, in his succession speech, you know. And I believe that Al Gore at the time had to perform the same duties that Mike Pence had to perform. You know, he had to do the same thing. He was very gracious. He was very respectful. I mean, I don't know what he did behind the scenes. He might have cussed and screamed and broke glasses, whatever the case may have been. But he was very gracious, and he attended along with with some other presidents. I know he was never the president, he was vice president, but he attended the inauguration. He was very gracious on national television when they did the count of the Electoral College. He was very, very gracious as compared to Mr. Trump, who decided to jump on Air Force One. He didn't want to fly Air Force One because it wouldn't have been designated as Air Force One if he would have got on it after 12 noon. So in his arrogance and his self-seeking nature, he jumped on Air Force One while it was still Air Force One. Because, you know, when the president, the outgoing president is giving a flight to wherever he's going, the designation of the plane is not Air Force One anymore. So Trump, I mean, he didn't just unbelievable. Just unbelievable.
Yes,
I definitely agree with. Right. Now, hold on, because I gotta move on with the show. But there's no evidence. Anybody can make an affidavit. So what? I can go and lie and make an affidavit about something. You know, like a bunch of people did. They may have even gotten paid. I'm not saying that they did, but there was no evidence. There was no evidence. There was no evidence that there was any malfeasance, any voter fraud, any stacking ballots. There was no. I mean, this some right. clown comes up and says right. There was a trailer. He drove a trailer full of ballots. I mean, come on. If you knew it was a trailer full of ballots, why didn't you say something? You could have broke open this. You could have broke it all open if you would have took those ballots to the authorities. But you didn't do it because it didn't happen.
I'd also like to say very quickly, the people that seized the Capitol, people that decided to do that, I mean, I think that was wrong, and I think that they're going to feel the repercussions of that. The individuals that decided to rush the Capitol and seize the Capitol, I don't think that was a very good idea. I think that those individuals are going to be going to prison for what they did.
Okay, but
it'll be interesting over the next...
Yes, but why would
my
you?
My major point is, I don't want to incite anger. I guess my major point is, at this point in American history, there should be no accusations of no presidential candidate should be allowed to even levy an accusation that the elections are fraudulent. There are major deficiencies remaining in our election system.
That has to be rectified.
It's very important that over the next 6 months to a year,
make the necessary modifications
to ensure it doesn't happen again.
Do you really think that the votes in Pennsylvania and Georgia are fraudulent? Now, is that what you said when you first came onto the program? Quickly.
Well, that has been investigated. Again, that has been investigated, and that's been backed up by various people. I'm not going to put my thumb down and say that is a fact, okay? I guess the actual reason why I call this, I just think by this point in history, there should be no talk of election fraud. That has to be fixed. If they have to make modifications and fix some of the election systems in various states, there should be no appeal system. Obviously, I mean, people wanted to get rid of Donald Trump because of his coronavirus thing. I respect President Biden. I think President Biden is going to do a great job as the president. He has a great track record as a politician. So hopefully everything is going to work out good. My major point, again, of course, is there should be no accusations of voter fraud. I don't believe that in this point in history that should even be an issue. My name is Matthew E. O'Neill. I'm the number one ranked editor for Everpedia.org. Everpedia is based out of Santa Monica, California. I'm an ex-athlete. I beat Preston Hartsog and Jeffrey Knock in USA Boxing in the Air Force Martial Arts Program. I am also the host of the Everpedia Boxing Show on Spotify. For the most part, I cover the sport of boxing and sports for the company. Politics is something I don't really ever talk about. I just wanted to make sure, and I respect your show. That's why I called in. I just wanted to make sure. I think it's important that this type of thing does not happen again. We can't have the National Guard walking through the Capitol.
The whole thing is a travesty.
Hopefully
it won't happen again. And you can thank me for allowing you to make that shameless plug. All right, thank you, sir. Thank you for calling into the program. All right, everybody, it's time for a break already. I mean, you didn't give me a chance to sit down. Already, people are calling in and going after me. Shout out to Diana Glenn, my sister. Love you, my sister. Stephanie Freitas as well. Lamont Gates, as usual. Shout out to Lamont Gates, Sharon Chambers, Jimmy Williams, my brother from another mother. And all those folks who are checking out the Ron Kelly Show. Let me take a break because already that brother just took up half of the show. All right, let me take a quick break and come right back with more of this program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this. The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
Oh no! I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great price.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. B-I-R-K-E-T-T Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A-plus rating.
Boy, my show must be...
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, TheRonKellyShow.com.
Wow. Welcome back, everybody. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. So the brother calls in, he makes a shameless plug, and takes three minutes to tell, and I didn't hear a word he said, to tell us about all his Just a shameless plug. I mean, Michelle must be doing pretty good if people are starting to call into the radio program and plugging themselves. Then my show must be doing pretty good. Shout out to Diana Glenn, who says, so why they only went after black folk? And see, that's the problem. Shout out to Gail Carnegie, Colette Bannister Matthews, welcome. So, yeah, so to Diana Glenn's point, why did they only go after the black vote? Because the votes they went after, I mean, yeah, Arizona, it wasn't really about black votes, but Michigan, black votes, Pennsylvania, black votes, you know, Philadelphia, black votes. It was mostly the black votes, Atlanta, Georgia, black votes, because it was the black votes that carried Reverend Warnock and Joel Ossoff into victory in the Georgia runoff elections, defeated Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue. And it was the black people, Stacey Abrams and Jane Clyburn, you know, two people who were instrumental in them getting elected. So, yeah, so oh, boy. Well, yeah, so why they only went after black votes. They were trying to get the votes thrown out in Philadelphia. They tried it in Detroit. Only with black folks, because they knew that there was enough black folks out here, enough black voters to carry these people to victory. Okay, everybody, it's 24 minutes past the hour. You're listening to the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. So it was a fashion show yesterday at the inaugural. All of these looking lovely. You know, Michelle Obama's slumps. So Michelle Obama sashayed into the place in spectacular. And Kamala Harris, of course, you know, she's already looking good. Kamala Harris' sister is gorgeous. And then Dr. Joe Biden, everybody was looking good. You see, but the thing that took it for me was that young lady, the one who did the poem. She was spectacular. That poem, you know, was outstanding, and that for me was one of the highlights of the program. But you see, and then you have Kamala Harris, who was the first woman of color, you know, took the oath of office as the Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris. So it was good times had by all, you know. So now we'll see what's going to be going on. Shout out to Donna Glenn, says she spoke the truth. Yes, she did. Yes, she did. That young lady did that poem, she spoke the truth. But it was very, very, and it seems like Joe Biden can't stay away from black people, because Joe Biden, his first two terms as the Vice President of the United States, he was the Vice President to the presidency of Barack Obama. And now he had a black president, and now he is a black Vice President. So it seemed like Joe Biden just can't stay away from the black folks. So anyway, 26 minutes past the hour. So wow, just unbelievable. I lost my place. So the beat goes on with the arrests that are being made, and the arrests that are being made in the aftermath of the Capitol Hill destruction that took place. Just unbelievable. Just unbelievable. And as I watched, I was just shocked. I was shocked at what was going on. So anyway, so Donald Trump leaves. Shout out to my son, R. Kelly Jr. He has a podcast too. Y'all check him out. Love you, man. So Donald Trump, didn't he have decency? He just shows I can't understand anybody voting for him, even though the 71 million people did. But I can't understand how anybody even voted for him, because he didn't have the decency. You know, every president for the last 152 years has attended the inauguration of his successor. And, you know, and 4 years ago, and we all know what Trump did to Barack Obama. He's a Kenyan. He's a Muslim. He wasn't born here. You know, all of the things he said about Barack Obama. And Barack Obama, you know, being the person he is, still invited Donald Trump and Melania to the White House. Welcome them in, you know, because that's what happens too. That's another tradition that the sitting president, who's on his way out, invites the invites the next president and his wife into the White House. And the two men get together and they talk in one of the each room or whatever. And the ladies, the current first lady and the next first lady, they tour the living quarters or whatever. They talk about what diner or curtains or whatever they talk about. And so Barack Obama, even though Donald Trump trashed him, said he was a, you know, with the birth of stuff, he's a Muslim, he was a Kenyan, he wasn't born here. But Barack Obama still had the decency to invite Donald Trump and Melania Trump to the White House. So this time, you know, he didn't call, you know, they make, usually make a call. Now, he did leave a letter. Trump did leave a letter for Joe Biden. He did leave him a letter. I mean, but still, he didn't mention his name. He lied all that time. And see, Donald Trump is the reason why that whole episode at the Capitol building took place. He's the reason for that, because he lied after lie after lie. Him and Mitch McConnell and Josh Hawley and Rafael Cruz and all of the, and some of these conservative Republican congressmen, some senators, they're all responsible for what happened. It's not just Donald Trump. They are responsible too, because they signed on. They signed up with Trump to tell a lie about the election. You know, in court case after court case, 60 court cases, and all thrown out, except for one. 60 court cases that Trump and Rudy Giuliani, who should be disbarred, 60 court cases where they were all thrown out. 60 court cases trying to overturn the election. And Trump even had the nerve to call the governor of Georgia, call the Secretary of State of Georgia, and the Secretary of State, you know, basically handles all the election stuff. And we all heard the tape of Trump begging Secretary of State to find some votes. Even if the Secretary of State would have went on with it, he still wouldn't have won. So me as well as most of this country, you know, breathed a sigh of relief as Trump hopped on the Air Force One and flew off to Florida, where into obscurity and non-importance, as he is right now. Okay, everybody, halfway through the show. And so now we have Joe Biden, President Joe Biden, Vice President Kamala Harris, and the second gentleman, Kamala Harris's husband. And I don't, like I said, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I could be, you know, because throughout history, for the entire history of the president, you know, presidential elections, the United States of America, every second person has been a lady. Everyone. In the history of the presidency, there's never been a second gentleman. This is the first time. So I don't know if I could, you know, I need to have my own identity. I don't want to be known as a second gen. I don't know. I mean, that's just me anyway. It's just my stuff. Anyway, everybody. So we have Kamala Harris, the first woman of color to be the vice president of the United States. So now, Joe Biden made a lot of promises out there on the campaign trail. Made a lot of promises. And in one of his speeches, he said that if it was the Black Lives Matter folks trying to raid the Capitol building, it would have been a different story. Because you see, because what was so striking about what happened in the Capitol was that the ease that the people were able to get into the building. And then many of them felt like they had the right, because you can hear see the video, and there was some audio with a lot of that video, and they were like, "Hang Mike Pence, where's Nancy Pelosi?" I'm like, wow, I mean, these people, they're dead serious. But anyway, so that's all over with. You know, we have Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who are now the president and vice president of the United States. So I want to see if there's going to be any changes, especially with the police, for example. You know, and I know Joe Biden was talking about stopping you know, chokeholds. He mentioned something about that. That's not going to be enough. That's not going to be enough. You see, because you know you can stop because they won't chokehold you, but then they'll kill you with a gun. So that's not going to be enough. So I'm interested to see what Joe Biden is going to do in regards to police brutality. Police misconduct, police corruption, you know, however you want to say it. So I want to see what he's going to do about that. Because that's very important to most of us, black men. I mean, I think so. Okay. Diana Glenn says, you would be so proud of your wife. Think if that was you, you want to support. Of course I would want to support. My wife is the vice president. See, I would have came out there like real cool. I would have had some shades on. You know, made sure my dude was right. You know, maybe a nice leather trench, you know, for the cold. Well, maybe not leather because it's kind of cold. But I would have been sharper than he was. But yeah, of course I would want to support my wife, Diana Glenn. But it's just, you know, it's a man thing. Because you want to have your own identity. You want to be, you know, because what happens is they come out together and then she goes. Like when they did they laid Aretha, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier yesterday, for example. They came together, she got left behind, he got left behind, and she walked to lay the wreath alongside President Biden. You know, so it's a man thing. It's a man. Of course, I would support her, but I don't know if I'd want to be around. You know, like all the time. See, because what happened with Doug Emhoff, who's her husband, he quit his job. He was a lawyer in California. He quit his job to come to move to Washington to be with her. So I don't know. It's just me. I don't know. I don't know if I want to stand in a position that traditionally throughout the 200 and some years this country's been in existence to suddenly stand in a place where a woman should be. That's just me. But of course I would support her. Of course. Of course. So anyway, so 25 minutes before the hour. So I'm interested to know what's going to happen with this. So we got the COVID vaccine going on, and you know, and the black folks are just not, you know, and not all black folks, but what I'm hearing is that most black folks are unwilling to take it. You know, now there's a lot of complaints going on about the coronavirus and that minority neighborhoods of color, situations of color, people of color. Are not don't have the same access that white folks have, you know. You know, I also hear that black folks get sicker faster, die faster, you know. You see, there's two sides to that story. There's two sides to that story. See, because black folks, I mean, from what I know, you know, black folks, especially the men, don't like going to the doctor. And I'm not putting anything on us, you know. I don't like going to the doctor, but I do go. I don't like it, but I go. And most black men don't like going to the doctor. And they do have free screenings. Shout out to Bunny McKnight, my brother. They do have free screenings. They have the trucks to go around, the big vans and stuff like that. Free screenings for cancer, for colon cancer and all kinds of stuff. And people just don't make use of this stuff. Because we talk about there being a disparity between the healthcare of white folks and the healthcare of black folks. That there's a difference. But when they do offer situations for us, a lot of black folks, a lot of people just don't, you know, don't partake of this stuff. You know. You see, so if we decide we don't want to take the vaccine, I mean, you know, if we start dying, then who are we going to blame? You know, I mean, I get it. You know, I'm reluctant to take the vaccine as well. I will, but am I reluctant? Yes. You know, but I'm not reluctant because of the Tuskegee experiment, because everybody's taking this vaccine. You know, because we talk about, you know, I've heard folks refer to the Tuskegee experiment. If you don't know exactly what that is, you can Google it. It was the clinical trials many, many years ago, the clinical trials that were that were conducted on black men exclusively. It had something to do with venereal disease, gonorrhea, syphilis, I believe it was. And black folks were told, black men were told that they would be, to participate in this clinical trial, that they would be given the cure. And they weren't given a cure. They were given placebo, which is nothing. It could be a water shot, anything. And the people who were conducting, white folks who were conducting the experiment, where they got the black men from was Tuskegee Institute. And the white folks who were conducting this experiment didn't tell the men that they were not being treated. And many of them suffered horrifically as the disease progressed upon them, upon their bodies. Many of them died from syphilis. Yeah, it's deadly. If you don't take care of it, you can die. And there are folks who refer to this as a reason why they don't take the coronavirus vaccine, which I think is nutty, because that's something that happened a long time ago, first of all. I'm not saying that they should be forgiven for that. I mean, it was wrong. They were dead wrong. They shouldn't have done it. But if you don't want to take it, then you just don't want to take it. I mean, I'm not telling anybody what excuse they should be using, but if you don't want to take it, don't take it. That's it. You know? Anyway, everybody, it's about 20 minutes before the hour. I got to take my last break. I'll take it. And I'll come back in just a few minutes with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody. And it's on blogtalkradio.com and ronkellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is working to help keep you and your community safe from the threat of novel or new coronavirus. Take the following everyday steps to help avoid the spread of all respiratory viruses. Wash your hands often with soap and water for at least 20 seconds. Cover your cough or sneeze with a tissue. Throw the tissue away and then wash your hands. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects or surfaces, such as remote controls and doorknobs. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. And stay home if you are sick. Call your healthcare provider if you develop fever, cough, or difficulty breathing. For more tips, visit cdc.gov.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Yeah, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness does marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
That's right. I think it says that on the back of his shirt. Let me see. That's right. See that? Let's see that right there. That's right. Don't get it twisted, everybody. This is Ron Kelly Show. Shout out to Omar Oyaribu. I believe I'm saying that. Omar Oyaribu. Welcome, my brother. Thanks so much. Bunny McKnight, Diana Glenn, Gail Carnegie, my son Ron Kelly Jr. has a podcast. Check him out. Colette Bannister Matthews, Gail Carnegie, Stephanie Freitas, Lamar Gates, Shannon Allen Chambers, Jimmy Williams, all the folks who partake of the Ron Kelly Show every Thursday evening at 7 p.m. on. Thank you so much for joining me, along with the radio audience, which is a lot bigger, thank goodness. The radio audience. Shout out to my folks in California, KCAA Radio. It's only 4 o'clock. It's 4, what time is it there? 4, almost 4:40. Yeah, it's 4:40 p.m. in California right now. Ron Kelly Show is a little early out there. And my people down at WWPR, 1490 a.m. in Miami, Florida. So on both coasts, east, west, and a whole bunch of places in the middle. So, yeah, so some guy, wow, that guy, some guy calls and makes a shameless plug on a radio show earlier. And somebody from the Howard Stern Show called me one day. Not for a job, I wish. But it's coming. So anybody watch Night in Miami? I watched Night in Miami. Night in Miami. Was that, what it called? The movie with Jim Brown and all the folks, Black Pete, Muhammad Ali. Night in Miami. I did watch it. Very good. Directed by Regina King, who used to be the little girl in 227. Regina King. The little girl is all grown up now. Academy Award winner. Not best actress, but best supporting actress. So the little girl, Regina King, is all grown up. She was the director of Night in Miami. Very good show. There was some good stuff on Netflix and Amazon. Good stuff. You remember we used to go to Blockbuster? You remember? We used to go to Blockbuster back in the day. Well, I'm dating myself. But anyway, yeah, we used to go to Blockbuster and get movies. Remember that? Blockbuster. Slide it in there. But you had to turn the movie into the desk. And Blockbuster just went out of business. Blockbuster had 6,000 stores. 6,000 stores all across America, Blockbuster. Remember we used to go there and get videos back in the day? Back in the, it seems like it was, you know, millennium ago. We used to go to Blockbuster to get those movies. It's just DVD, first, now the DVDs are out of style. First it was the VHS tapes, and then the DVDs came and pushed them out the way. Now I got a DVD player I don't even use. I just, you know, donated this one. I don't even use it, you know, unless I'm watching them kind of movies. But, oh, boy. Yeah, so, you know, and we used to go to Blockbuster and rent those movies, and things have changed so much. You know, now you can go to Amazon. I got Amazon, Netflix. I'm not subscribing to everything now. There's too many streaming services out there. But I do have Amazon Prime and I do have Netflix. I watched Sophie's something with the brother. He used to be a football player. Used to play for the Philadelphia Eagles. Did a very good job. I forget the name of the movie. Yeah, Blockbuster and West Coast. Yeah, Omar Oyarebu. Blockbuster was there. Yeah, back in the day, going to Blockbuster, getting those movies. I remember that. Going to Blockbuster and renting video games. Blockbuster was the biggest thing out there. And the streaming, the DVDs came, the streaming came, and boom. I think the last Blockbuster store just closed last year. They went from 6,000 stores to nothing because modern technology, just like the ATM. You know, we had the ATM, you know. Now you got the ATM. So they don't need as many tellers. So you're going to bank now, there might be two people working there. Somebody you can talk to about loans and one person behind a counter. That's it, because everything is so advanced now. So, yeah, so all right. So we got us a new president. I don't know about you, anybody else, but I know I felt a little better once I knew Mr. Trump was gone. But those people are not finished. Don't think that those white supremacists, don't think for a second that they're not coming back. But, you know, I was reading some material about them, and, you know, now they're starting to feel like they were used. And yeah, you're right. Is anybody watching the show? Yeah, you were used. Absolutely, you were used. Because Donald Trump collected all that money and left. And I was watching some kind of news show, and they were interviewing people, QAnon and some of these other conspiracy theory nut jobs. And the people were saying, yeah, they really didn't believe that Joe Biden would be inaugurated. They were absolutely 100% sure that Joe Biden would not be inaugurated. So a lot of them, some of the ones of the interviews I saw, they said when they saw Joe Biden get inaugurated, the kind of air kind of came out of their sails, you know. And that, in fact, that they're getting locked up every time you turn around, somebody's getting locked up. Now, there was thousands of people there. So they are way behind the eight ball as far as locking them all up, because they're not going to be able to, because they didn't see everybody. But for the fools who wanted to videotape themselves for posterity and wound up getting locked up, you know, they got them. But those people are not gone. Don't think for a second those people are gone. They are not gone. They are still here. They've just been, the air has been taken out of their balloon, so to speak, because Donald Trump is no longer the president of the United States of America. Joe Biden is. You know? So we're going to see. We're going to see. I know a lot of people are praying for Joe Biden because he wants to give that $1,400 check, and I know y'all want that check. I want it, too. But I'm interested to see what Joe Biden is going to do about the police brutality. I'm interested to see about that. You know. All right, everybody, it's about 12 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. And, So now we're going to see what happens with all these people, all these, vote deniers. Now, I can't get over this guy who called the show. I mean, right off the bat, I thought he was somebody else who I was expecting to call on the show who didn't. You know, I hate when people do that. If you're not going to come on the show, just say, I'm not going to come on the show. Don't tell me something and then turn around and don't do it. But the show must go on. And a gentleman called me and said that that was voter suppression, what happened with the election. That was an example of, they couldn't stop us from going to the polls. They couldn't stop black folks from going to the polls. So what they did was, they tried to get rid of your votes. See, and thank God, I was stunned watching that, those people run up in the Capitol building looking for Congress people to kill. I was stunned by that because if that would have worked, Trump would still be president. If that would have worked, if they would have got that off, Trump would still be president of the United States. And our government would be, there would be no more democracy. No. So it's a good thing, you know, I talk about the Constitution, and although we weren't in it, but it was a good piece of legislation, what they did. You know, now the good news was, you know, because of the Constitution, we have a new president now. But the bad news is black folks weren't put, you know, black folks didn't make the dance card. You know what I'm saying? Black folks weren't even considered a person. Now, it wasn't that's the misconception that the Constitution said that black folks were one-third of a black. No, it didn't say that. It said, you know, you had to gather two of black people together to make one person. But it doesn't say anywhere in the Constitution that black folks were one third of a person. Does not say that. You know, I mean, the way it went down, they didn't treat us like one third of a person anyway. You know, 9 minutes before you're out. So we'll see what happens. You know, now that we have Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, 78 years old, and a lot of people, and I had said to somebody, they said I was being cruel when I said that it's a possibility Kamala Harris will be president in the next 4 years. I mean, you know, Joe Biden will be 82 years old by the time 2024 comes around, and I seriously doubt if he's going to run for president again. So Kamala Harris, it'll be up to Kamala Harris to get the ball rolling, and she needs to establish herself. So when 2024 runs around, she will more than likely be a candidate for president, you know. And, you know, I didn't like Kamala Harris at first. She seemed too, you know, too prosecutorial, you know. She was the district attorney in San Francisco in the early days. And then she was the attorney general of the state of California. So she had that prosecutorial mindset, you know, leap on people, jump out of the bushes on them. That's how she was. Shout out to Rosalind Christie. Rosalind, for joining the program. And so I didn't like Kamala Harris at first. When she ran for president, I did not like her. Because she was too much like a prosecutor. Too much like a DA. You couldn't see what was on the inside. You couldn't see the heart of Kamala Harris because she was just so too much of a go-getter. Now, you remember, if some of y'all watched the first debate, where she leaped out of the bushes on, thank you, Diana Glenn. She was very aggressive, like most black women are. But anyway, I don't want to hear about that. Yeah, she's very aggressive. And I didn't like her at all. So you remember the first debate, Democratic presidential debate, and she was, She's aggressive. She jumped out of the bushes and and she suplexed Joe Biden. I'm speaking, Mr. Vice President. I'm speaking. I was like, oh, this is condescending B. You know, I hated her. I was like, so when she didn't, when she gave up her, when Kamala Harris had to give up her campaign, I was happy because I did not like her, you know. But something happened. And I think Diane McLean says, why do I think he picked her? Right, because he was able to, because Jill Biden, Dr. Jill Biden, Joe Biden's wife didn't want her to pick, want him to pick Kamala Harris. She's like, no, this B. You know, she kicked her back in up there on that stage. And she did. Kicked back in when heels on that she'd be wearing. Shout out to Donnie Wilson for joining the program. Yeah, so so I didn't like Kamala Harris at first. But, you know, and when she was chosen as vice president, she softened up. You know, I think what we're seeing now is a real Kamala Harris. But that campaign, she was too aggressive. Way too aggressive. And shout out to Joe Biden, who was able to forgive her for her misdeeds. So we're going to see what happens with Joe Biden. Joe Biden ran and made a lot of promises to black folks. And that's why black folks came out and voted for Joe Biden. Shout out to Denise. Yes, we do need to change. And yeah, Joe Biden made a lot of promises to black folks about 5 minutes before the hour. Joe Biden made a lot of promises to black folks. That's why black folks came out and voted for Joe Biden. If black folks didn't come out and vote for Joe Biden, he'd be home right now. And I don't mean in the White House. He'd be in Delaware. You know. And Trump would have won. Now, there wasn't enough. Black folks, with the help of Stacey Abrams and some of the other women who helped out, who got out to vote. And so Joe Biden made a lot of promises. So I'm going to be looking, because I want to see what Joe Biden's going to do about police brutality. I want to see what Joe Biden is going to do about the killing, Andre Hill, George Floyd, Jacob Blake, you know, Tamir Rice, on and on and on and on and on and on. Shout out to Denise. Chris said that he better get to us first. Yes. Yes, he better get to us first. You see, because what has happened, even in the Obama administration, because the bar for the Justice Department to step in and prosecute a police officer, the bar was so high that nobody could reach it. No matter how egregious these shootings were. Tamir Rice, 12 years old. Why would you shoot a 12-year-old kid? Why? And see, the same people, you know, white supremacists are all around us. And shout out to the white folks who listen to the show. They know that, you know, I'm not talking about them. But those white supremacists are all around us. And they talked about, I posted something on my website, on my Facebook page about the infiltration of white supremacists in the police department. I've been talking about that for a long time. About white supremacists infiltrating the police departments. And I believe that those are the ones that shoot black people. Because Andre Hill didn't even have a gun. Shot. You know what I'm saying? So I want to see what if the Justice Department is going to lower the bar for the prosecution of rogue police officers. I want to see. Joe Biden has a lot to work to do in the black community, because black folks, he owes, shout out to Michael Bishop, who just joined the program at 3 minutes left. But thank you for joining anyway, Michael Bishop. Thank you, my brother. So Joe Biden owes us a lot. So I want to see. I'm going to be very critical of Joe Biden, not that he's going to care, but I'm going to be very critical of him and Kamala Harris. If something needs to be done. Now, somebody called into the show last week and said, yeah, well, what about black people killing black people? Yeah, something needs to be done about that, too. Something really needs to be done about that. I don't know which one is more important than the other one. Denise says, I tried hearing about our handsome young man, powerful gents. Yes, my father, dad, my sisters. Yeah. And so I want to see what's going to happen. Joe Biden has a lot of work to do in the black community. Or he's going to be a one-term president just like Donald Trump. Which I think that I think he's going to be one-term president anyway, because you know, I don't know if he's going to be running again at 82 years old. Kamala Harris will be 58. Kamala Harris will be 60. No, 59, somewhere around there, 59, 60 by the time the next election comes up. So we'll see what happens with that. So anyway, everybody's about a minute and a half left of the program. Thank everybody. Thanks for telling me. 90 seconds left of the program. So thank everybody for watching, listening, partaking in the Ron Kelly Show all across the United States of America and on Facebook Live and on the Black Podcast Network, who I broadcast over there as well. Maybe some of those people will watch the program as well. So, so we'll see. We'll see. But congratulations to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Now it's time to pay up, because you owe us. I voted for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris myself, right around the corner. I went in person. I didn't trust that online stuff. Or sending the ballot in. No. Right around the corner from where I live, there's a fire station, and I voted right there for Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. So congratulations to them. Congratulations to the young lady, only 22 years old, who said that poem was fantastic, spectacular. Thank you, Denise. Ms. Kelly, good show. Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, my sister. Appreciate you. And I appreciate everybody who listens to the Ron Kelly Show every Thursday evening, 7 p.m., right here on blogtalkradio.com and on various radio stations all across the United States of America. So thank you, everybody, for watching the program, watching, listening, podcasting, wherever you check out my show. We'll see you back here next week for another edition of Ron Kelly Show. So until nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And we may not have it all together, but together we can have it all. Thank you so much. I think I'm done.